It's the dictionary.
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 Hello, word nerds. Welcome to the dictionary. My name is Spencer, and you are watching, maybe just listening, to my podcast called The Dictionary. If you want to contact me, dictionarypod@gmail.com is just a great way to get in contact with me. Whatever you want to say, comment on something. There have been a lot of times where I say, if you have a comment about this, if you know more about this, if you can pronounce this, whatever it is, go ahead and email me. You can also call my Google Voice number, 917-727-5757, and leave a message, an old school voicemail message, and I will put it in a show, unless you say not to. You can follow me on social media at DictionaryPod on Instagram and Threads and Twitter and just The Dictionary on Facebook if you're one of those old people like me who still use Facebook. You can join the Patreon for $1 a month. That'll get you really, really, really early episodes, which I think is worth $1 a month. It's like nothing. It's just like a four quarters. You got four quarters, I think. What else? Some merchandise. You can buy some merchandise. There's a Tee Public link in the show notes. Buy a t-shirt. Buy a wrinkly t-shirt like what I'm wearing right now. All my clothes are wrinkly, and I just sometimes don't have time to steam them. Oh well. Let's see. Anything else? Jonah and Tom made my theme songs. Go check out their work. You can make your own theme song for this show. I'll probably play it once, at least once. 15 seconds would be great. That's all I need. That's it. And obviously, go check this show out on YouTube if you're not already doing that. YouTube, the links are in the show notes. My channel is SpeeJampar, at SpeeJampar. That's also my personal social media. Oh, I'm feeling real lazy this morning. Got to bed late and didn't sleep great. Let's talk about the first... this is February 15th, 7.06 a.m. here in the work office. The first word is, tagging on to the last word in the previous episode, we have esophagus. E-S-O-P-H-A-G-U-S. Esophagus. Noun from the 14th century. Here we go. A muscular tube that in humans is about 9 inches... that's about 23 centimeters. That's the length. And it passes from the pharynx down the neck between the trachea and the spinal column and between the left bronchus where it pierces the diaphragm slightly to the left of the middle line and joins the cardiac end of the stomach. So much information. Okay, it's a tube that goes from basically your throat to your stomach. Now, it says that it's about 9 inches in humans. Doesn't say adult humans. I believe adult would make the most sense. But also, humans are all different sizes. So I guess the average would be 9 inches. But it's going to be different in somebody who's a lot shorter versus somebody who's a lot taller. You know, maybe mine is 9 inches, but other people's aren't. So, you know, it's an average. Let's see. It passes from the pharynx, that's in the throat area, down the neck, between the trachea and the spinal column. So that's like the front back. The trachea is more in the front of the throat. The spinal column is in the back. That's your bones. And so this is between those. Let's see. And it goes... it pierces the diaphragm slightly. So the diaphragm is around the esophagus. I think that's what it's saying. What does slightly mean? How does it pierce slightly? Maybe you should go look at a diagram if you want to see that. Slightly to the left of the middle line, and then it joins the cardiac end of the stomach. And that would be the part of the stomach that's closer to the cardio things, which are the heart, That's the heart. So that's the top part of the stomach. That's what I would say. That's the top part. Yep. This is just the tube to get the food into the digestive system. That's what it is. The esophagus. Why do we call it the esophagus? I shall tell you. This is from the Middle English, esophagus, with a Y, from Middle Latin, esophagus, or esophagus, which is from the Greek, oesophagos, which is from oisin, which means to be going to carry, plus phagein, with a PH, which means to eat. So you combine those together and you have to be going to carry to eat, or rather, the things that you are eating, this thing is going to be carrying them to another part of the body. That's what it is. That's literally what it is. It's carrying the food that you eat from one part to another part. There's more at the word backsheesh. Don't remember what that is. Backsheesh. This part of the body can do some interesting things. First of all, it's not officially part of the esophagus, but there's a, what do they call it, like a diaphragm or a muscle. I think actually maybe they call it a sphincter muscle. Between the esophagus and the cardiac part of the stomach, where those meet, there is a muscle that's going to squeeze things. So it makes it hard for stuff to come back up the esophagus. But obviously, sometimes you got to throw up. So that's when it's going to come back up the esophagus. The food is going to come back up out of your mouth, probably, unless you throw up a little bit in your mouth. And it's sort of acidic, because once the food starts to get digested, it's a little acidic, and it can burn the esophagus and not feel so good, and the throat also. So yeah, that's one thing. What else? I guess this is not officially the esophagus, but you've probably heard me talk about how my throat feels very not as strong as it should be, and often sore. And so it's not officially the esophagus, but, you know, it's on the way down there. They did a scope to see if there was anything that they could see down there, and there wasn't. They looked into my esophagus, and they said I had the best esophagus they'd ever seen. It's bright and shiny and covered in gold and sparkly diamonds and glitter, and they were like, this esophagus, how did it get so beautiful? I said, it's just the way I was born. I was born that way. So I looked up backsheesh, and it says it's a small sum of money given as a tip, bribe, or charitable donation. I don't understand what? How is there more etymology at backsheesh that's connected to esophagus? Something about carrying things? I don't know. Huh, weird. Esophageal, that is an adjective. And my sound effect is going to be gulp, because it's kind of like it's related to the esophagus. That's an esophageal sound effect. Next is esoteric. Esoteric, yep. I think also some people just say esoteric. Esoteric, esoteric. Adjective from circa 1660, number 1A, designed for or understood by the specially initiated alone. This is designed for the specially initiated, or it is only understood by the specially initiated. Only them. Only those people. There is a quote, a body of esoteric legal doctrine, and that is from B.N. Cardozo. So this legal doctrine, all this stuff, can only be understood and is probably created by the lawyers, the people in the legal world, the judges, all of them. Body of legal doctrine. Yeah, because it's esoteric. It's just for them. Just for them. This is an esoteric podcast because it's just for you. 1B is requiring or exhibiting knowledge that is restricted to a small group. Oh, this is like top secret stuff. you know, that's above my pay grade. I don't know this esoteric information, but those people up top, they know it. There's only a small group of them that are allowed to know that. As in esoteric terminology. I think you could also call this jargon. Different groups of people have their own jargon, and it's only known to them. But broadly, there's more difficult to understand. Esoteric things are difficult to understand because only a certain people can understand it. It's not a wide-ranging, understandable thing that people of all brain types, intelligent types can understand. That's why it's difficult to understand. There is another example here, esoteric subjects. I can't even think of any esoteric subjects because they are so difficult to understand. Well, calculus could be one of those. I never did it. I never took those classes. Those, I think, are so advanced that a lot of people probably have difficulty understanding them. Physics in general, probably. Of course, you get more specialized. You got astrophysics and astrobiology. I mean, I don't know. We could just go down the line of things that are just really advanced, and you need degrees. You need many, many different types of classes to understand this stuff. Most things, to a full degree, are probably esoteric to me. I know a little bit about a number of things, but anything more than that, it's like, I can't do it. Number 2A. This is limited to a small circle, as in engaging in esoteric pursuits. So it's not maybe literally about a small circle, but it's more like there's just a small group of people who are also interested in this pursuit. So I want to be in that thing where there's only just a small group of people. You can see a common thread with this word esoteric. Limited to a small circle. Number, relatedly, 2B, the synonyms are private and confidential, as in an esoteric purpose. An esoteric purpose is private. Why is this purpose private? It's confidential. What, I don't know what this purpose is. This is kind of a weird example, an esoteric purpose. An esoteric purpose. Number 3, of special, rare, or unusual interest, as in esoteric building materials. What are you building? What things are you using to build buildings out of that's esoteric? Clams. If you are building something out of clams, that would be really esoteric. Yarn. That would be another esoteric building material. Not probably the best one. Esoterically is an adverb. This is from the Greek esoterikos, which is from esotero, which means it's a comparable of iso or eso, which means within. Also from ice, which means into. Akin to the Greek word en, which means in. And there's more of the word in. But I think that it missed a lot. We basically learned about the first part of the word, kind of, but not the rest of the word. Where did the rest of the word come from? Maybe this teric part? Esso, because it went from N to ice to esso, iso, and then esotero. What happened between those? How did we get the tero? And then esoterikos. That's a big evolution. But it's basically all saying it's about within something, in a small group, in a small circle. You are definitely in the esoteric group. You are part of a very, very small, great group of people. Esoteric. Yeah, I think this podcast is definitely esoteric because it's not cared about by most people. It's hard to understand. I have a hard time understanding it, and I'm the one doing it. Okay. Next is esoterica. Esoterica. Noun from circa 1929. It's just esoteric items. So anything. So this podcast is what you could call it esoterica because it's an esoteric item. There's no additional etymology, really, so we got to go on to esotericism. Esotericism. Yep, that's it. Noun from 1846. Number one, esoteric doctrines or practices. Those are just things that not a lot of people are doing, probably. They're so esoteric. Number two, the quality or state of being esoteric. I want to be more esoteric. What can I do to be more esoteric? I want people to be like, oh, what's going on with him? We don't get him. Only a few handful of people get him. Maybe he's not even in that group. But I don't know. I don't think you can force it. Yeah, it just is what it is. Next is ESP. Oh, the first ESP word. It's just all lowercase because it's an abbreviation for especially. ESP, short for especially, which I assume we'll see. We'll see something. Yeah, we'll see that later in this episode. That's a weird sound effect. We have ESP again, all caps. Noun from 1934. The synonym is extrasensory perception. Of course, it's from the E plus from extra, the S from sensory, and the P from perception. What exactly does this mean? Well, I guess we'll get more into this in the EX section, but this is like an... I mean, it's the kind of thing that, you know, most people probably think of as psychic. I think that's, you know, ESP, psychic. It's like, oh, I can see things in the future. I can feel things. But based on the word extrasensory perception, I would think that this is more like somebody who's blind, who can't see, they're maybe going to have some ESP in their hearing because it's extrasensory. It's more, they have more sensory feelings in their hearing than the average person. That goes above and beyond. Same with somebody who is deaf. They are going to see things better, probably smell things better. What else? What are those other things? I think that's it. You know, I think the blind, somebody who's blind who can hear better, that's like the really, really big one. Somebody like Daredevil, the superhero Daredevil, definitely has some ESP when it comes to sensing what's around because he can hear everything just really, really good. But I don't know if that's what they mean by it. So, you know, we'll learn about that one later. I don't have any extrasensory perception. No ESP for me. No. I have sensory perception. I'm just numbing up. Ooh. Next is espadrille. Espadrille. Lelele. Noun from 1892. This is a sandal, usually having a fabric upper and a flexible sole. A fabric upper? Is that the end of that part of the word? A fabric upper piece, upper top? I feel like you need another word there. I've never worn espadrilles, I don't think. Usually having a fabric upper and a flexible sole. I don't know why this is such a specific thing. I have heard of espadrilles before, but yeah, okay. I mean, it just looks like it's a slip-on shoe. That's what it is. It goes back around the heel, and it just sort of covers the front half of the foot with this fabric upper. And the sole, I guess, is fabric. I don't know. Look, these sort of look like they're maybe canvas or hemp or something like that. They have thicker soles, at least these pictures. Espadrilles, I don't know. I don't know nothing about espadrilles. Anybody can wear espadrilles. It looks like mostly it's women who are wearing them, but, you know, you don't have to be a woman to wear an espadrille. If they look good, if they feel good, then wear it. That's what they say about espadrilles. The etymology, it says it's from French, also from the Latin spartum. I don't know how that got in there somehow, but or what that means. But if you want to know, go look up spartum. Is that what it is? Spartum in Latin. What does it mean? Maybe it means fabric upper. Oh. Next is espalier or espalier. Either one. It is spelled E-S-P-A-L-I-E-R. Espalier is the American way to say it. Espalier is probably the more proper French pronunciation. Noun from 1662. Number one, a plant, like a fruit tree, trained to grow flat against a support, like a wall. Plant, fruit tree, apple tree, I want you to just grow against that wall. Just stay there. Just like you're a criminal escaping a jail, stay against that tree, the wall. We don't want you anywhere else, just against the wall. Why? Why are we doing this to this plant, this fruit tree? Okay, weird. Let's go to number two. A railing or trellis on which fruit trees or shrubs are trained to grow flat. So there's nobody giving this fruit tree treats. Fruit tree treats. There's no whips, nothing, no training in that way. What they're doing is they have this trellis, which I think are usually like cross-shaped things, crissy-crossy. And they plant it right below it, and so it like sort of hugs it. It just sort of naturally stays against it. Again, I mean, vines, you know, vines, they'll do this with vines, but why a fruit tree? Why does the fruit tree have to grow against the thing? Maybe you don't got the space to have the fruit tree just expand its arms to the world like it wants to. It's got to stay against the wall. Just go stay against the wall, please. Espalier. What's the etymology? This is French, from the Italian spalla, which means shoulder, from the lower Latin spatula, which means shoulder blade, and there's more at the word epaulette. And I can't come up with a connection of why shoulders are related to fruit trees growing against the walls, and maybe I'll put a link in the show notes for espalier. To say why are we doing this to the fruit trees? I think they want to be free. They want to be free. Free the espaliers. Okay. And yeah, then the thing that you're putting the tree up against is also the espalier. Espalier. Gulp, 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 gulp. Second form of espalier or espalier is a transitive verb from 1810. One, to train as an espalier. And number two, to furnish with an espalier. That's it. We got to espalier the espaliers on the espalier for some reason. Oop. Next is esparto. E-S-P-A-R-T-O. Esparto. Noun from 1845. Number one, either of two Spanish and Algerian grasses, used especially to make cordage, shoes, and paper. It is called also esparto grass. And the species names for these two kinds are Stipa tenacissima, that's one of them, and the other one is Ligium spartum. Is that the second or third time we've seen spartum? Something. It's a grass. This esparto is a grass. And number two is the fiber of esparto. So once you I don't know, cut it, and you're getting it ready to be used to make these shoes, paper, or cordage, just the cords of things, then that fiber is called esparto. I want to see what this looks like. Is it like a long, big grass? Why is it so used in these ways? They're making it looks like a hardy thing. Maybe they're using esparto for the bottoms of the espadrille. People are making baskets and like platter things and sandals. And definitely. Yeah, it all kind of looks like a, maybe it's similar to hemp. I don't know. But yeah, you can weave it. You can do all sorts of things. It's a big old basket right there made out of esparto. This word is Spanish from the Latin spartum. See, we have a spartum again. Now, was it in this espadrille? Yes, espadrille also. Oh, so maybe espadrille. Maybe it actually did. They did use esparto to make espadrille. And that's why it's called espadrille, because it's so related to that. I'm going to bring back my white so I have some better light on my face. What else? Greek, Spartan, and there's more at the word spire. So because we've seen it a couple of times, I'm going to look up the Latin word spartum. I am spartum. Let's see. That's spartium. Maybe I should put in the word meaning so we have more. Rope, cable. Yeah, that's pretty much what it is. Okay, so yeah, you're making ropes and cables and shoes and sandals and all sorts of things. Papers. Okay. Gulp. Next is especial. Special with an E. Adjective from the 14th century. Being distinctive. That's the main definition. Being distinctive is especial. This feels very old. I don't know how often we're using this one. But we have some sub-definitions. A, directed toward a particular individual, group, or end. As in the example, sent a special greetings to his son. These greetings, hello, son, how are you? That's great. They're distinctive. They are directed specifically to a person. So these are very personalized greetings. Hello, son. That seems real personal to me. Is there another example? Yes. Took especial care to speak clearly. I sometimes take especial care to speak clearly, but sometimes I go a little overboard. And sometimes I don't take any especial care whatsoever. Why do we have an E at the start of this word? That's what I want to know. Let's keep on reading the definitions, though. B, a special note or importance. Of special note or importance. It would help if you took especial care in your reading and your talking. Of special note or importance. Also, unusually great or significant. As in, a decision of especial relevance. I feel like this is the older way to say special, and then they just took off the E. Because why? It just makes it complicated. It's just easier to say special than especial. Special note or importance. Anytime I have a guest on, those episodes are especial. C, highly distinctive or personal. The synonym is peculiar, as in, had an especial dislike for music. Who doesn't like all music? I'm sure that there are some people, but to dislike all music? I mean, you know, I get it if you dislike some music, but all music? This is such a silly example. This is not, no. But it's distinctive or personal. Yeah, peculiar. That would be very peculiar. If you have a distaste for music, that's very especial. That's very especial. D, the synonyms are close and intimate. Close and intimate, as in his especial crony. He feels very close to his crony. He can tell his crony all of his feelings, all of his sadnesses and depressions. He tells his crony. He doesn't tell anybody else. E, synonyms are specific and particular, as in, had no especial destination in mind. Now we're just going to go. We're just going to go driving. We don't know where we're going. It's not a special. The journey is a special. A synonym, huh, shocking. It's the word special. There is a phrase in a special, and that is in particular. Now, I want to talk to you about some things, but in a special, in particular, I want to point out this one thing. Maybe that's how you could use it. In a special. Yeah, okay. I mean, it's just Middle English from Anglo-French, and there's more at the word special. It doesn't say anything more than that. I think this is just the old version. Because special is special. A special is a special. Yeah. Yeah. Gulp. Next is especially. Now let's see. You can say especially, three syllables, or especially, yeah, four syllables. I think I tend to prefer the four syllables. I don't know about you, but I like to say especially. Especially. So, you know, this is a more common usage of this word, a special. You know, I never really thought we have special and we have, oh, but especially I want to talk about this thing. There's an E at the beginning. Why is there an E? Because it came from the word especial, which we don't really use anymore. If you are using the word especial, please tell me. Especially is an adverb from the 15th century. Number one is the number one definition for the word specially, with no E. And that one seems odd in this context. Specially, especially. Ugh. English is weird. 2A. In particular, we're seeing that again. The synonym is particularly, as in, food seems cheaper, especially meats. In particular, the meats seem cheaper than other foods. All the foods seem cheaper, but the meats particularly seem cheaper. Why? That seems odd. I feel like meats, oh, I'm not going to get into that whole rant. The government subsidizes should be flipped. The meat and dairy industry is subsidized way more than the foods that are actually healthy for our bodies. And so that they are a lot cheaper than they should be. It doesn't make any sense to me. It does make sense. It's all about money. It's all about those meat and dairy lobbyists who are trying to save money and make more money. But they know that it's not healthy for you. It's just not. It's science. Okay. 2B, for a particular purpose, as in, built especially for research. That is for a particular purpose. This Spencer was built especially to do this podcast. 3, there's no definition. It just says used as an intensive. Very intense when you use the word especially. As in the examples, where did they go? An especially good essay. Oh, that essay, it was just so wonderful, and it had all the good points in it. They made an outline ahead of time, and it had a thesis, and 3 points, and an intro, and a closing, and it was an especially good one. Also as in, nothing especially radical in the remarks. Nothing came out and jumped out at us. Nothing in particular. No remarks. Yeah, especially. Those are just intensives. We're going to intensify what we're trying to say with the word especially. I can't wait to talk about this next one. Gulp. I'm especially interested in esperance. I don't know anything about this word. Esperance. Noun from the 15th century. It's obsolete. And the synonyms are hope and expectation. Ooh, what do you hope the day will be like? What's your expectation for the day? What's your esperance? I guess that's how you would use it. Okay. Not much in the way of etymology. It's Middle English, Middle French, Esperance. Doesn't say what it means. No clue. Something about your hopes and your expectations. Yeah. Gulp. Now, here's an interesting word. I am especially interested in this one. It is the word Esperanto. And I can't not, in my head, I have to sing. Esperanto, it's a made-up language. Esperanto with a capital E. It's pretty much spelled like it sounds. Noun from 1892. 1892 is when Esperanto was made. This is an artificial international language based as far as possible on words common to the chief European languages. Wow, this seems not as wide-ranging as maybe it should be if it's based chiefly on European languages. There's a whole lot of other languages in the world, don't you know? I guess that those are sort of the hub of language. I mean, clearly not. I mean, I don't know enough about languages. Esperanto, it's an interesting one, though. Esperantist is a noun or an adjective. And yeah, I mean, obviously I'll put a link in the show notes for this one. I wonder if The Illusionist ever did an episode about Esperanto. I feel like probably, but I don't know. I'd have to check. I'll put a link to that one as well if it exists. The etymology is from Dr. Esperanto, that was a pseudonym of L.L. Zamenhof, who died in 1917, was a Polish oculist and the language's inventor. So they died, if the word is from 1892, they died 17 plus 8 is 25 years later. It's such an interesting thing. It was like, oh, we're going to create a language that, I like that it said artificial international language. It's artificial because it was just made up. It wasn't one of those languages like all the other languages that sort of just evolved over thousands and thousands of years. We're going to make it up. We're going to take words from all these other languages. And so everybody can understand it. Yeah, this definitely requires a link in the show notes. There have been, I think, movies made in Esperanto. I believe it is mentioned in a They Might Be Giants song. Captain Kirk, James T. Kirk. Why can't I think of people's names when I want to? William Shatner, I believe he either knows Esperanto or he did something in Esperanto. Let's look that up. Shatner Esperanto. Oop, it was right there. Ah, he did a film called Incubus in 1966. It was a black and white horror movie. It was, yeah, in Esperanto. This was before Star Trek. Shortly before Star Trek. Whew, interesting. It's an interesting language that's just made up and it never really took off. You know, I'm sure there's some people who know it well, but it just didn't quite. I'm sorry, Dr. Esperanto. Also, that was a made up name for L.L. Zamenhof. How did this person make up this name, Esperanto? Where did that come from? I want to know that too. All right, so much talking today. We got one more word. Gulp. Espial. E-S-P-I-A-L. Espial. Noun from the 14th century. Number one, the synonym is observation. And number two, an act of noticing, and the synonym is discovery. Ooh, I just noticed something that nobody else has ever noticed before. I discovered a thing. I found an espial. I espialed. It's a noun. So yeah, the act of observing a thing, discovering a thing, that is an espial. Well, spy is in there. I spy-al with my little eye-al. something that's recording me. It's you, camera. It's also you, microphone. All right, let's pick a word of the episode. We had today esophagus, esoteric, esoterica, esotericism, esp, esp, espadrille, espalier, espalier, esparto, especial, especially, esperance, esperanto, and espial. I'm just going to pick esoteric as the word of the episode. I like things. I like things that are esoteric. Don't you? Yes, you do. Esoteric is the way to be. Be esoteric. Boop, boop. All right. Wonderful. Fantastic. Let's talk about another movie I watched. Origin. I mentioned this in the previous episode. We watched Origin based off of a book, which I guessed it really, really well. I had never heard of it because I don't read. I hate reading. Nope, no reading for me. Never gonna do it. You can't make me. And so this is based on it. And I think it's up for an Oscar for Best Adapted Screenplay, which I wouldn't be surprised if it wins, because it was a really good adaptation from what I'm guessing the book is. The author, I think, put herself in the book because she is also in the movie. The movie is about her making the book, which I assume is partly what the book is about as well. Oh boy, it's fascinating, it's informative, it's intense, it's tough, it's funny, it's sad. Oh, she goes all over the world interviewing people about stuff. You just got to go watch it to find out what that stuff is. And it often feels like a documentary because she's just talking to people. She's interviewing people throughout. You got to watch it. It's a good one. Okay. And actually, no, now that I said that it's up for... See, I don't know what year it came. I thought it maybe came out in 2024, but I also thought that it was up for Oscars. Yeah, no, this says 2023, so maybe it had a limited release in 2023, New York and or LA. That's how they do it. And then it got a wide release in 2024. But no, I'm looking through the list of awards and I'm not seeing the Oscars. So I guess it's, 2023 must have been just when it was in like festivals or something. This is interesting. Yeah, I guess it's not eligible for Oscars yet, but it probably is going to do pretty good in next year's Oscars. Okay, that's the end of the episode. Thank you so much for turning on this show. Until next time, this is Spencer dispensing information, very esoteric information. Goodbye.